In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Hey, Jim Hoffman here for EMS Office Hours. I know we got a late start because right at show launch time, we lost the connection. So I had to disconnect and get back on here. So I'm going to get Dave Brenner back in with us right now. So stand by a second.
Alive again?
Yes, Dave, we are live. Yes.
Good to be back.
Yes. Too bad we weren't here to begin with, and then it dropped before we had a chance to.
Perfect timing.
I know. It was like 10 seconds before the show started, and all of a sudden it's telling me that the call was dropped and we had a big problem. So anyway, not so much of a problem that we couldn't reconnect. And
good to be back.
Get back on live here. So anyone listening, be sure to follow us on Twitter. It's at EMS Safe on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. We are at facebook.com, EMS Office Hours. Dave, you're with us tonight. Josh is not here tonight. Anyone listening that listen just for Josh, you can go ahead and leave because he's not here tonight. So if you tune in just for Josh, you can tune out and, you know.
Because we don't want to disappoint him.
Right, exactly. But be sure to go to his website at whatnew.com and check out his wrenches anyway since he's not here. It's funny, you know, Dave, I was looking at some of the feedback for the show recently, and one person had commented that it was his second time tuning into the show. And he didn't like our first 5 minutes or so of banter at the beginning of the show. And I'm like, any show, any live show that's out there, radio show or podcast or whatever, even a lot of times new shows, you know, don't have some sort of kind of opening, you know, kind of dialogue that goes back and forth between the host or an upcoming guest before they get into the meat and potatoes of the show. So
let's just dive right in there. Go from
it's like what am I supposed to? Hi, Jim Hoffman. Today we're talking about Go. I like to at least try to let people that are listening in to kind of get them warmed up to what's going on with the show and get to know. And sometimes people that listen to the show, it's their first time. So they don't know who I am, they don't know who you are or who Josh is. And it's not that we're introducing ourselves and giving our bios, you know,
right,
each and every show. But I think sort of the banter and saying the Twitter account and the Facebook account and mentioning some websites and whatnot, I think it sort of introduces us and kind of sets up sort of a tone.
Closes our humanity.
Right, yeah, exactly. What am I, a robot?
We're not all serious.
Yeah. I mean, I think even when you go to a CME, they don't dive right into the content.
I don't.
There's always a little bit of something in the very beginning, even if it's just the presenter giving their bio, you know, of their qualifications and whatever, you know, to present. So, I don't know, I just saw that. I was like, I said, I wonder how many other people are out there that think that.
To it. You know, if enough people say they hate the banter.
Yeah, but I guess enough of that. But, you know, I get a lot of people that do enjoy the show and give good feedback. One thing I am saying that, I want to give a shout-out to High Performance EMS. They're at HP_EMS on Twitter. And on Facebook, I believe they are spelled out as High Performance EMS on Facebook as well. Giving them a shout out because they really kind of plug us a lot and talk about the show and talk about my blog and things like that. So I want to give them a quick shout out and kind of thank them, you know, for that. So they're on Facebook.com, and it's High Performance EMS. It's all together, no spaces there on Facebook. So you want to check out some people want to check out some of their content. Go yes, check that out. They got some pretty interesting things there on top of the fact that they kind of mention my stuff. So whenever you mention my blog post and my things, I always encourage you to go check it out. So anyway, so go check them out. Like them on Facebook. And if you do, please tell them that Jim Hoffman sent you from EMS Office Hours. So it's, you know, they know we're kind of spreading that love, you know. And I've actually been getting a lot of good feedback on the blog for a lot of the content that put up there lately, kind of encouraging people to share it on Facebook and to like it and tweet it out and things like that. You know, because these days it's all about the social media vibe.
Yeah. What are your numbers? What are your numbers? Everybody wants to know.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, funny you say that. I just crossed over the 9,000 member mark on the EMS Professional page.
Very nice.
So, I mean, some people have been way past that. I know Josh has had over that for some while on his Want New page. So
I feel feeble at 165.
Hey, well, that's your personal page, though. So.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so that's okay. You're allowed to have.
Yeah.
And sometimes with those pages, you're better off having fewer people. Why are you going to... Sometimes I look at my face, my personal Facebook page, I'm like, I got too many friends. I don't even know who the happy people are.
And the funny, sometimes I click on them and say, I'm happy to say this is not my friend.
Yeah, the funny thing is that sometimes people, I'll post something, and somebody that I don't know will like it or comment on when I'm posting. And I can't say I don't know them. That's not necessarily true. I mean, I'm sure like you, Dave, you meet a lot of people in EMS over the years. And you meet them at conventions or at CMEs or in training and jobs and stuff like that. So I might have met somebody once or twice. They see me on Facebook and they friend me. So
nice when that happens.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. So, so today I put just a couple of topics up for tonight's show, and the one was about working 24-hour shifts. Have you ever worked 24-hour tours?
Me?
Yeah. Very well, maybe not recently, shift, maybe.
A couple of 24-hour shifts, but. Not generally.
Yeah.
Nope.
I didn't work them until I started working upstate New York, and I worked 24-hour shifts there. I was working 2 24s a week, one at the beginning of the week and one at the end of the week. And I enjoyed it because it allowed me a lot of free time in between the shifts. Now, I see a lot of chatter on Facebook these days about the 24-hour shifts and how it's dangerous. There's an accident apparently recently with an ambulance crew got into an accident. They were working 24-hour shifts. So, you know, it just... I guess it's a lot of hubbub going on now because of the fact that it's, you know, it just shows that there's a danger, I guess, involved in that. You know,
we know it's dangerous with truck drivers. It's got to be dangerous if you're driving an ambulance.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great points that I've been seeing made out there. And I think the argument, some people argue that, well, if you're working 24 hours and the only places that you should be allowed to work a 24-hour shift are the ones where you have a low call volume going on. You don't have a lot of calls in the 24-hour time. You've got someplace to sleep. You know, you're not sitting in the ambulance for 24 hours. You've got a bunk room. You've got a way to, you know, to wind down and you know, sleep in between the calls. But still, I mean, from my experience, when I did the 24-hour shifts, even though we had bunk room, we had a whole setup, and we had the bunks, we had the kitchen, the bathroom, the TVs, the whole nine yards there. But I still found myself, even getting the calls, you know, in the middle of the night while you're working 24-hour shift, you're still tired. It still takes you time to sort of wake up from being asleep. And on top of that, when you are sleeping, you're not really getting a sleep. You ever found that, like when you work a tour on EMS, well, even if it's a 12-hour shift and you try to take a little bit of a cat nap or something, right? You're never really in a sound sleep. You know,
no.
Most of us sort of have that sort of like third.
And if you sleep less than 2 hours, you may as well not have gone to sleep. You wake up more tired than you were when you went to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm on board with the fact that the danger to it. I don't know, and I guess that some places do it because it helps them staff the ambulances by having people there, you know, the full 24 hours, especially if it's a volunteer place and they have a problem getting volunteers in there. But at the same time, you know, it's when it comes to staffing, that's another issue of it too, if you think about it, where if somebody bangs in to work and they're scheduled to work a 24-hour shift, now you've got to get someone to come in for 24 hours. You've got to cover 24 hours of time versus 8 hours of time or 12 hours of time. You know
people
what I mean?
Like it because they commute less.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so it ends up being convenient for the workers, beneficial to the person working the shift, right? Which is why you get a lot of people say, oh, I'd love to work. I would love to do 24 hours. You know, I get, because it's one less time you got to go to work, one less time you got to put the uniform on, you know. But there is those dangers, you know, and if you look at some of the I guess some of the information that's out there too, what are they, I don't know if you know, I think they compare it that if you're working that, you know, 24 hours and you're woken up in the middle of the night, it's almost as if you have the same sort of, reflexes or the same sort of awareness as somebody who's drunk, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of evidence that shows there's a, what do they call it, cognitive decline.
Right, right.
That's what, I mean, we're not the only people who do this. I mean, you know, nurses and, what was it, the doctor residents, the interns?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were famous for this, and they canceled that, the 24-hour deal.
Yeah.
So many more medical errors. So, I mean,
There a while there where the interns would work, like, days in a row at the hospital for, like, 72 hours, sleeping in between, you know, emergencies or in between rounds and whatever.
It was almost like hazing. It
yeah.
It was almost like, you know, it was a rite of passage.
Right.
I did it, you got to do it.
Right, right. But like you said, I think it's realized that it promotes errors, you know. And then that's another aspect of it for us. I mean, it's another aspect that you know, where it can promote an error. You know, you can make a medication error. You can make an error in your clinical judgment.
Sure.
You know, on top of the safety for yourself or your partner if you're driving the ambulance, you know, that whole safety aspect of it also, you know.
Who do you want taking care of you, Jim?
You know,
you or a loved one. Who do you want taking care of you? Somebody who's been working for 2 hours, or somebody who's at the 23rd hour of a 24-hour shift?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Most people will sit there and they will argue up and down that it's safe, we can do that, we can do it. You know, it's been done a million times, it's been done that way, you know, forever and all that. But if you ask somebody, well, would you want somebody who's not awake and who's not aware of what's going on, you know, coming to your house? Would you want somebody who is, you know, totally awake and
like your pilot? Alert? Would you like your pilot to be up for 24?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think there's any, other than the convenience of, you know, banging out two shifts a week and we're done, and yeah. I don't have to commute a lot.
Right.
I mean, you know, certainly the fire department is famous for these kinds of shifts.
I was going to say that, too. Like, what are a lot of fire departments have that where they work the 24 hours and,
yeah, that works.
24
that works
on.
You're not running 24.
40. Yeah, and, but the thing is, nowadays, you know, fire departments that used to, you know, respond to fire calls and wouldn't have that many fire calls on a 24-hour period. They would work for that 24 hours, and they'd be off for 48 or whatever the case may be.
48 and 72s.
Yeah, exactly. But now, what are fire departments doing? They're running EMS calls. You know, they're
unhappily.
Running. Right? Yeah. I mean, they're running EMS calls. You know. They're running EMS calls that in the past they wouldn't have done, you know, because it's another responsibility for them, you know. I mean, where I work now, there's no way 24 hours. I'm actually 12 hours. I'm ready to. I feel that I'm not 100%. You know, I used to joke around when I worked a 24-hour shift. So, you know, at 3 in the morning, they're getting me at about 30%. They're getting 30% of what I know at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Good thing you know a lot.
Yeah, oh, you know. I think that sometimes a lot of it that you end up doing at those times where, like you said, that whole cognitive
decline,
it's, I think when you're... When you're doing EMS for a while and you go out and you respond to those types of calls, you end up a lot of it's muscle memory, you know.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, I can do that. I can do it 24 hours, no problem. I'm good. I can do it. You know, but it's just muscle memory. There's not a lot of thought that's going on, you know. But like I said, there are places that argue, well, we can do it if
we don't get caught.
If we don't get caught. We can. They say if you can, you know, that you can do it if you are able to sleep, if the agency allows it and has facilities for you to sleep, then it's okay, you know.
Yeah, well, I'd be okay with somebody, you know, had, you know, 6 hours sleep during the, you know, I don't care if they're on, I know a place, sounds like the name of a song, oh, it is.
Yeah.
But I know a place that recently, because it's low volume, and because it's very rural, they let people work there a week and they're on 168 hours straight.
Mm.
They're on 24/7 for 7 days. But they have low volume. You can sleep. You can do whatever you want in between. They don't care. You just have to be on when they need you on. And they're famous for not having a lot of calls,
yeah.
Which is, you know, it's something that seems to work. And people want to do it because it's in a desirable summer place that, you know, wow, I could be there and that would be awesome, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, you can go down the road even with the 24-hour shifts to the point where, well, you know, what about the people that work 3 12s in a row? You know, they work 12 hours, go home, come back for another 12 hours. Or they work 16 hours and come back for another 12 hours. Or the people that work 8-hour shifts from one agency to another agency to another agency.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's just scamming the system.
Right. We're in essence, they're working 24 hours or even longer.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, we could sit here and point fingers at the places that have it documented that their people work 24-hour shifts, but there's a lot of that gets a lot of the undocumented sort of 24-hour shifts that get done.
I think New York City tried to put a stop on that because they tracked your...
they did that for a while. They used to track your numbers so that... When you went from one agency to another, if you didn't have X amount of hours in between, you know,
right.
the two agencies, you couldn't work.
Yeah, what they would do, and they still do, and you know they do this. They work 16. They go outside of New York City. They come out to my place.
Yeah.
They work another 8, 12, hopefully, to do some for money sleeping EMS,
right.
Which they don't always get. They don't get that sometimes, especially lately, it's been like crazy. They can be running... for an entire shift, and then what do? They go back to their main gig for another 16.
Right.
And it looks like they had a 12-hour, a 12-hour or 16-hour break.
Yeah.
All they did was have a break from this one system and went to another.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, because I think if you try to tell people they had to work, 8 hours, 5 days a week, then that would be the end of it. I mean, people would be ready to kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know, because people in EMS pretty much all over are used to having that flexibility, you know, doing a double. I mean, we're one place that I know that everyone was scheduled for the 5 8-hour shifts, but then everybody jockeyed around to make it so they worked, 2 16s.
Right. Mutuals.
You know, they would mutual the hell out of everything, and then, you know, so that everyone was working.
16 is not two-thirds as bad as 24.
No.
No, the decline that goes on after 16 hours is outrageous.
Right.
It's not linear. It's, I don't know what, geometric.
Yeah.
It's geometric. You just get, or exponential, probably even a better word. You just get worse. I mean, I'm looking at some statistics here. I found the reference to they say that, you know, working 24 hours is like having a blood alcohol level of 0.05 to 0.10, which is enough to get arrested in most states.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're driving. And what was it, 36% more medical errors? They have five times more serious diagnostic errors, 61% more needle sticks. Mm. Yuck.
Yeah, so you're talking about dangers not just to yourself and your partner with driving and, the public at large as you're driving, lights and sirens, places, but also to patients, you know, by making those types of errors, to yourself with a needle stick. Who needs that, you know, that type of thing? I'm going to tell you, too, that when there is an error, you know, a needle stick or a car accident, whatever, they will eventually find out or focus on the fact that you were working X amount of hours without sleep.
They've been finding that with all those bus crashes.
Mm-hmm.
They have been going back and checking the work schedules.
Yeah.
Just the bus
now, I think it's like one of the first things they do now after drug testing or alcohol testing.
Check your phone, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. They check your phone, too. You know, it's really, that's what they look at. It's not, who had the red light when you were going lights and sirens and you went through the red light, who had the right of way? Who did they yield? No, did the traffic yield to you? No, they don't want to know that. They want to know how many hours were you awake when you were driving?
Sure.
How many hours were you awake when you made that medication error? I know years ago, when I first was in EMS, I got into an accident with the ambulance, and I was 100% in the right. I had the green light. Everything was hit on the side by a vehicle. But when I went into the whole what do they call it, the
history, investigation.
Yeah, like when they, you know, you sit down with the lawyers and stuff. And
deposition.
The deposition, that's the big word I was looking for. When you sit down with them, you know, I sat down, I'm ready, right? I sit down, I am ready to friggin', to make my case and for the lawyer to stand up for me and make my case that I was in the right. I had the green light, I was throwing lights and sirens, I was lit up, I had a whole night. And what did they start asking? How long were you awake that day? Did you come from another job? You know, were you working two jobs? How long in between the two jobs was it when you, you know, came? And actually, at the time, I was guilty as hell because I was actually working with a per diem job. I was working like a regular non-EMS job full-time. And I was working, just getting into EMS as an EMT, so I was working per diem, you know, trying to get a full-time job. And I went from my job at 5, you know, I got off at 5, and then I came into work that night at 10 or 11, you know, to work an 8-hour shift. Yeah, I had a 5-hour window in between the two, you know, the two jobs, which I think is the only thing that saved me. Was that I had a significant window in between both jobs.
Wow.
You know, but that, they focused on that. They didn't ask, nobody asked once who had the red light. Nobody asked once.
Well, they probably knew that.
Yeah, nobody, you know, they didn't ask anything about that. They wanted to know, you know, did you come from another job? They wanted to know how much driving was involved between my other job and getting to work. And luckily, I wasn't driving, I was taking the train. I was commuting with mass transit, so I wasn't driving in between the two, you know.
Right.
So I had that, I guess, going for me as well. But, you know, the people listening that sort of defend that 24-hour, you know, shift, it's, this is what the lawyers are going to look at, you know. This is what, because it's like a ground ball. You're just lobbing a ground ball.
Yep.
You know, for that litigation end of it, you know? So, yeah, so I don't know what the answer is, right? I don't know what the, how to sort of fix it so that we can work 12, 16-hour shifts, you know, and function at the high level that we need to function at as EMS providers, healthcare professionals, you know? I think, you know, sitting there and I think comparing us to nurses or doctors and say, well, they do it. No, it's that's not the answer either. And we've got to
do well with it.
No,
they don't do well with it.
Yeah, we've got to figure a different, another argument to make on how to justify that. We'll put something in place to say X amount of hours worked, X amount of calls within that time frame, all sort of, you know, tie into what you can and can't do.
Yeah, but it takes a little bit of honesty. You know,
it takes honesty. I think it also takes that mentality that you often hear of by management and EMS, is they want to get asses in the seats. And,
right.
You know, if they can get people to come in for 12 hours and 16 hours and they don't care what job they worked before or after, or, you know.
Like if they paid us more and we didn't have to work more hours in order to make a living, that perhaps that might affect it.
Yeah, of course. Perhaps. Right. That's a whole other thing. Yeah, exactly.
But I do want to tell a little related anecdote. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. I was going into work. I was getting ready to, I don't know if I was going to drive or take the train that day, but I stopped off at 7-Eleven. And the guy in front of me has three giant cups of coffee. Three 5-hour energy drinks, and three Red Bulls. Right, he takes them, he brings them out to the truck, and I'm looking for the group of people that are, he's driving a gasoline carrier, okay, alone.
Oh,
alone. This guy is
chemical. So now that's it. He's stocking up on the caffeine and stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's chemically away. He's going to be chemically, and God knows. I mean, he's, you know, he's, what is he driving around with? Like a 40,000 pound bomb.
Yeah.
Chemically awake, whatever that means.
It is. It's the type of thing, you know. Like you said, it's not just EMS that does it when they shouldn't be doing it. There's a lot of other, other medical, you know, jobs that do it, and truck drivers that do it, and bus drivers that do it, you know.
Air traffic controllers.
Yeah, it's another thing. So it's
not okay.
So how do you, how do you fix it? Like you. And again, because if you try to fix it, you try to say we shouldn't be doing it, then everybody points a finger at, well, look at them over there, air traffic control. Look at these guys, the doctors that are doing it, the nurses, you know, they're doing it. Why can't we do it? I'm no worse than they are.
It's true.
You know, but I think, like you said, I think something, you know, getting paid enough money to not have to go from one job to another. You know, it's one thing, you know, because a lot of times people that work the 24-hour shift still, they're doing it because it gives them that freedom to go work another job. The other 4 days of the week that they're not working, you know what I mean? They have that you know, ability now to go work that other job now, you know? So, yeah, listen, we can go round and round with this. And, you know, I know on this show often we do end up doing that, you know.
Yeah.
We go round and round.
That's what happens when somebody doesn't have an easy answer.
Yeah, there's not an easy answer. I mean, well, I guess the easy answer is, you know, not to do it anymore.
I promise not to do it.
Yeah, the easy answer is, you know, any agency that does 24 hours is going to, from here on out, only do 12s. The people that work 24 hours will ensure that, you know, they're not working 24 hours. They're not going to scam it by working 12 one place and then go from there and work another 12 someplace else. You know, so you've got to, you know, all that going on. But in management, that's not going to turn a blind eye when they know their people just to the 12, but they're going to keep them there for another 12 because somebody banged in sick and they're willing to work type thing, you know. So,
mandated tours. That's my favorite.
The what?
I got mandated.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I always love that mandated thing. You just get done working 8 hours, or maybe even if it's not, maybe it's 16 hours. We can mandate you for at least four hours. You know.
Yeah. But somewhere in there, I'm sure there's a promise that it's your only job.
Right. That's the thing, yeah. You know.
I promise to make this my only job if you promise to pay me a wage that will let me make this my only job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, that's you know, a big part of it, I guess, right?
I think.
You know, that's a big aspect of that.
I don't think people are working, and I know plenty of them, who are working 60, 70 and more hours a week in EMS. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're doing it because they really love working so much.
Yeah.
They need the money.
Yeah, I mean, I had a partner years ago that he was working two full-time jobs, and he worked with me, and he'd be coming from another, you know, another place because he needed the money. He's, you know, he had two kids at home, and, you know, so the type of stuff that... That adds up, you know. So
it does.
So anyway, so like I said, I think the thing I think for people to be aware of that I would say for it to be aware of would be, you know, just know that if something happens, not only are you gonna have the negative outcome of getting hurt maybe or something hurting,
awful.
Right, or somebody else being hurt if. You know, by you working that many hours, you know, if it gets in the hands of a lawyer, eventually they're gonna figure out that you did not sleep. You know.
Yeah.
And they're gonna pull all the statistics that you mentioned earlier about you know, comparing it to being drunk, and you know, they're gonna pull all those stats out, and you're gonna sit there, you'll have no defense, and you're gonna have to hope that whatever agency you were working for at the time is going to stand by you. And we all know how that goes.
the agencies are smart, they're going to make a policy that says we don't want you doing that. We're not backing you.
Right.
If
yeah.
you do that, and if you do that, you're doing it against our recommendation, and you're on right. your own. Why would they want to extend their life? But if you're right. getting interrogated, there's a big lawsuit involved. You know,
yeah.
you don't have little lawsuits in EMS. It's, you know, they're not suing you for $240.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you're right though. That's the thing that they won't stand behind you. They'll tell you, you know, well, you had the policy manual tells you that you're not supposed to do that. You know. You're on your own type thing, you know. So, yeah, so I think people just need to kind of be aware of that. And I'm sure there might be some people who end up listening to the show that might come back and have their way of defending the whole 12-hour, I mean, the whole 24-hour, you know, shift thing.
Sure.
You know, but again, I mean, I think that for any good argument for doing it, you're going to have at least two or three other arguments that are going to knock it down.
Yeah.
You know.
Even working in the quiet places, it's just a matter of time till the quiet place is busy on your shift.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just going to say, you know, listen, I was guilty of it. I enjoyed it. I benefited from it.
Right.
But I also, there were times when I was very aware that I was not at my optimum at that time. You know, I knew, you know, that I am tired. You know,
yeah.
going to the call. I'm like, I am tired. You know, and it would, and if, you know, luckily a lot of times, it was a very rural area, so by the time I got to the call, I was, have my wits about me, but you know you don't have a long response time. You got the cobwebs are still floating around in your head when you're trying to find out what's going on with the patient. You know, so
yep.
While I was guilty of it, you know, now that I don't do them anymore, I want them banned nationwide.
Okay, so they don't pick up you and your
right.
loved ones when they're on the 23rd
right.
hour.
Yeah, plus now that I can't work 24 hours anymore, I don't think anybody else should be able to.
You know, for a little while, when they were letting the physicians, the interns, work 24 hours, they had a rule. I think it was closer to a law that said if the doctor had been awake for straight up for 22 hours, they had to tell the patient that they were about to treat, that I have been up for 22 of the last 24 hours.
Hmm.
You know, there was a disclosure. So, would you like me, or would you like what's behind door number
two? Right. You got me. I look like I know what I'm doing, but just so you know, I've been up for, you know, 20 hours. But there's somebody you have behind that curtain that can help you that has had sleep.
Or will lie to you.
or won't tell you that they've been up that long, you know. Actually, I know one EMS place that they would work the 24 hours with a 16-hour shift, but if they didn't get, what the hell was it? I can't remember what it was now. Something like if they didn't get X amount of calls within the first, like, 6 hours, they went home. They would be sent home.
Huh.
You know.
Really?
Yeah, and then
that's a recipe for this. As if the first 6 hours are predictable for the next six.
Yeah, if they didn't work, they didn't have in the first 6 hours, something like that, they would go home and they would have somebody, there would be another crew come in to cover the other shift.
Huh.
Something like that. I forget what it was. It had something to do with, I think it was rooted in how they were being paid, you know, because they didn't want to pay them for not working type thing. But then it also, I think they kind of put a spin on it because it was a safety thing because, you know, they were too tired or whatever after that period of time and not working and just kind of sitting around, that they would get, you know, stagnant, I guess, not doing anything for 6 hours.
Hmm.
Something like that. I forget the if I find out,
bring it up to us.
Actual details, I'll post it in the show notes. There was something along those lines.
Maybe a listener out there knows.
Yeah, there might be people out there who work something like that, you know, who do something along those lines, you know. do that their thing. So, well, that's it. That's it. I'm done talking about 24-hour shifts, and I'm ready for the next topic.
Okay, well, that's it for Dave and I for this first half of the podcast. So next week, Dave and I are going to be putting on the second half of this show and going to talk about 12-lead EKGs and EMS training and a little bit about being a dedicated EMS provider and EMS professional. Okay, and what some of the things we think when we talk about that. So join us next week for that, guys. Until then, any questions, comments, concerns, send them over to me. It's contact@emsofficehours.com. And until next week, as always, Jim Hoffman, stay safe.